I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. The House Intelligence Committee deadline for the Justice Department to produce evidence backing up President Trump's allegation that President Obama wiretapped Trump Tower came and went yesterday, that deadline. No evidence. The Justice Department asked for more time. There is no precedent for the sitting president's accusation that his predecessor, Barack Obama, tapped him during the campaign. We're going to look at this. You can join us. What does it mean when a sitting president doesn't back up this very hot claim? We're at 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. On Sunday, Arizona Republican Senator John McCain was on CNN's State of the Union, said President Trump needs to provide proof that President Obama wiretapped him, or say he's retracting the charge.
The president has one of two choices, either retract or to provide the information that the American people deserve, because if his predecessor violated the law, President Obama violated the law, we've got a serious issue here, to say the least.
Yesterday, there was no retraction, and there was also no evidence. Instead, at a press conference at the White House, Press Secretary Sean Spicer was dancing. Here he was.
He doesn't really think that President Obama went up and tapped his phone personally. I think, but I think there's no question that the Obama administration, that there were actions about surveillance and other activities that occurred in the 2016 election. That is a widely reported activity that occurred back then. The president used the word wiretap in quotes to mean broadly surveillance and other activities during that.
Well, we'll look at what the president tweeted and more with us to help us do that. Peter Nicholas, White House correspondent for The Wall Street Journal. Peter Nicholas, thanks very much for being with us.
Hi, Tom. Good to be with you.
With us from Washington there. And from Berkeley, California, Thomas Mann joins us, senior fellow governance studies at the Brookings Institution, co-author with Norm Ornstein of It's Even Worse Than It Looks, How the American Constitutional System Collided with the New Politics of Extremism. Thomas Mann, welcome back to On Point.
Thanks, Tom.
Let's just review for a second, Peter Nicholas, what the president tweeted a week ago now. There's several tweets. One, I bet this is 6:52 in the morning. The president tweeting, I'd bet a good lawyer could make a great case out of the fact that President Obama was tapping my phones in October just prior to the election. There's the first one. Second, how low has President Obama gone to tap my phones during the very sacred election process? This is Nixon, Watergate, bad or sick guy. And finally, here we go. Terrible. Just found out Obama had my wires tapped in Trump Tower just before the victory. Nothing found. This is McCarthyism. Peter Nicholas, here we are a week later. Those are big charges. Yesterday, zero evidence, as far as I know, from the Justice Department. Where do things stand?
Well, we really haven't advanced much beyond those initial claims, which have never been substantiated. And you're correct. The President Trump could not have been more clear. He said Obama did this personally. He was very clear that there was wiretapping going on. That was a week and a half ago. The White House has yet to produce any evidence. House Intelligence Committees have demanded it. But I think what happened yesterday at the White House press briefing room, Tom, is significant. I think we saw for the very first time a walk back from Sean Spicer, the White House press secretary, saying that what Trump meant here was not that Obama personally tapped the phones. He's trying to offer a broader definition of wiretapping, which is the word Trump used, to say broader surveillance, and made it much more vague than Trump actually specified. So I think we have to interpret that as something of a climb down from where we were when Trump first tweeted this. It's somewhat significant because the White House has not yet up to this point, the White House has really not backed off the claim. They've not substantiated it either. But I think in terms of interpreting the Kremlinology, so to speak, at work here, we have to conclude that this was something of a walk back from Sean Spicer.
Thomas Mann, does that make everything okay if there's a little climb down or you fuzz it up a little bit, despite the fair clarity of what the president wrote, tweeted, put out to the whole world? Does it just kind of evaporate and that's okay, no problem, no harm, no foul?
That's called defining deviancy down. What's really terrifying about this episode is that it's the new normal in the White House. A series of tweets from the president about his predecessor on this matter were stunning in one sense because of the unprecedented and outrageous nature of the charge without evidence at all. But in another sense, it wasn't surprising. Donald Trump saw a story, on social media, probably Breitbart's story, and tweeted in response to it. He has news sources he trusts, and when he sees something that catches his attention, there's no thought process in between. His fingers go to his smartphone, and the tweets are out there in the world. It's very, very disturbing. I mean, we have a larger problem with the absence of truth in this administration and more broadly in this government, including the Republican majority in the Congress, and this is just another illustration of it. It's eerie.
Tom Mann, I want to be careful here. We don't want to normalize this. I mean, you talk about how well this is just we're getting used to this, but is there any precedent for a sitting president to make a charge like this against a predecessor? What and just remind us of the weight of this charge.
Oh, listen, I'm not trying to normalize it. I'm trying to reinforce people about the broader outrageousness of the way in which this president communicates, lacking evidence, lacking truth. And now, you're right, it's important to underscore this particular incident. I mean, it's so absolutely outrageous, and Peter is right, they're trying to walk it back. But listen, the way to walk it back is to say, you know, one, I withdraw the charge and I apologize. I mean, that would be the way to do it if they were serious about it. But Donald Trump's operating principles don't let him ever apologize for anything. The strategy is just keep the pressure up, and the bigger the lie, the more likely it is that the base will accept it.
I mean, there is a problem here, because this is the president of the United States. When that person speaks or writes, you want it to be with a certain authority, and that came up in the press conference yesterday with Sean Spicer. First Spicer saying, well, fuzzing it up, as you say, but then NBC's Peter Alexander asked Spicer, when Americans can trust the president?
Can you say affirmatively that whenever the president says something, we can trust it to be real?
If he's not joking, of course. I mean, but in that case, hold on. But no, you're asking, hold on.
Start over again with joking.
Okay, no, but your point is, if he's, every time that he speaks authoritatively, he's speaking as president of the United States.
Well, but is he? Every time he speaks authoritatively, he speaks as president. I mean, he is president of the United States, but authoritatively. Richard in Nashville, Tennessee. Richard, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Real quick, I've been a lifelong Republican voter, but this election changed my mind. Not just this, but many things leading up. But this was the final blow that if they can support a man like Donald Trump, who, in my mind, is very unstable, the Republican Party has become unstable, and that's why I don't vote Republican anymore. One thing among many, but that's the main thing. This man appears unstable, and I think the party is unstable because they support him so vehemently.
Richard, I wish you luck on your political path, and I appreciate your call. Let me get one more from Medina, Ohio. Kathy, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. This is Kathy, and I'm just wondering why. You know, Sean Spicer isn't being held accountable during these press conferences. He can go ahead and say something like, oh, yeah, we've got it. There's a lot of evidence backing it up. But nobody follows up on that. What is the evidence? Nobody's actually, he's controlling these press conferences in a way that the real questions aren't getting out there.
Well, I mean, I take your point. The holding Sean Spicer is one thing. He wasn't elected, though. I mean, the president is the real accountable political figure here. Peter Nicholas, what about the House Intelligence Committee request by midnight last night that there be evidence in their hands? And it wasn't there. The Justice Department said, please give us more time. Right. Where does that stand? Is there any real move here to try and nail this down?
Well, I think there is, yes. The intelligence committees have asked for any sort of FISA court authorization or court order or any documentation that would back up substantially what the president said. Justice Department has asked for more time. We don't know what the deadline is. To some degree, the intelligence committees are depending on the good faith cooperation of the Justice Department. If Justice Department resists, there's a possibility of a subpoena. But I think one date we should consider, Tom, is... March 20th, and that's when FBI Director James Comey will appear on the Hill for a hearing. He's going to be asked pointedly by the Intelligence Committee whether there is any evidence to back up the president's claim that Obama wiretapped Trump Tower during the campaign. And Comey, my guess, is going to answer that directly. Our reporting shows that Comey has asked the Justice Department to rebut this claim, so we believe his answer is going to be no, and that may settle the matter, because I think having that kind of on-the-record, decisive, clear statement from the FBI director,
no evidence,
may be all we need to know.
Well, we'll see. We're looking at Donald Trump, President Trump's claim that he was tapped, wiretapped by Barack Obama, President Barack Obama. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Now, Peter, what you raised there, though, I mean, that hearing is about whether the Trump campaign was working with Russia to win the election, I guess, broadly speaking. And that leaves me with this question. Isn't it true that the Obama administration was looking into that question? It came up. It was a target of interest before the election, was it not?
Yes, it was. So this could backfire, in a sense.
What do you mean?
Well, it could backfire because it's possible there was some kind of there was an investigation going on. There was some sort of surveillance going on, perhaps not in the way Trump described it, where Obama is illegally ordering a wiretap of Trump's phones at Trump Tower. But possibly there was some surveillance as U.S. investigators looked into the question of Russian interference in the election. And that
would that be inappropriate or appropriate?
No, well, that would be, if they got proper court orders and legal authorization, that is an appropriate way to investigate such a matter. But that could raise questions about the actions of people close to Trump or Trump surrogates during the campaign. And that's not necessarily where Donald Trump wants the focus to be right now.
I guess not. Adil in New Orleans, Louisiana. Adil, you're on. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom. Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
It was a question and not a question, actually. What we see in the pattern of Trump that he's doing, it's always about the Nixon things that makes Nixon out. It was the tap and the wiretapping and the major of it. And then he would make actually this pattern of outrage certain things that it doesn't going to bite him back. And he does those, you know, like he started with the media, that because he wanted actually to push the media out, he you know, single a lot of, major people that they can actually just coming back to him.
Adil, I think we got it. I mean, you're raising the Nixon years as a reference point here, and that's interesting. And I want to put it to Thomas Mann, if I may. Adil, thanks for your call. Tom Mann, what about the Nixon example? Things got awfully fraught there under Watergate. Was he coming out? We didn't have Twitter then, but was he, you know, writing, saying in the night, XYZ, publicly, false claims or unsubstantiated?
Well, in a sense, but he was more careful in his public statements than those recorded on tape in his private room. He was obviously misusing authorities of his government and the administration and ultimately lying about it. That was serious enough to lead to a bipartisan investigation of the matter and ultimately his resignation and in the face of impeachment. What's going on now, I suppose, if Trump is actually implicated in the Russian involvement in our election, and and he's worried about the upcoming investigations, and he's trying to distract attention, there could be a similarity. What the one thing that really worries me is the delay on the part of the Justice Department. I hope it's the search for documents, but Comey was prepared to say there's nothing there weeks ago, and yet the Justice Department needs a little more time. My guess is, if anything, there's constant surveillance by the intelligence community of the Russian government, and it's quite possible they picked up a call with someone out of Trump Tower. It could have been Roger Stone or Peter Manafort, or it could have been a member of the Trump family. Who knows? But that's not the president wiretapping or even surveilling. That is simply the routine efforts of the intelligence department to monitor the Russian government.
Peter Nicholas, after a very hot charge like this, it seems to me the American people deserve to know the truth. Are we going to?
I think the best we're probably going to get from this is what James Comey's testimony on March 20th before the House Intelligence Committee. So I would look for some clarity at that moment.
Doesn't the president have some responsibility himself to, if he wants to maintain his authority and credibility here?
He does, but you pointed to this earlier. He does not like to apologize. He doesn't like to retreat and give ground, and I wouldn't expect him to do it.
Well, and here we are. Peter Nicholas is White House correspondent for The Wall Street Journal. Peter, thank you very much for spending a little time with us today.
Good to be with you.
And Thomas Mann is with us from Berkeley, California, senior fellow at the Brookings Institution, co-author of It's Even Worse Than It Looks and The Broken Branch. Thomas Mann, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Tom. Enjoyed it.